From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit as he brings the final portion of a message dealing with the work of the Spirit in the ministry of Christ. We've seen that the Holy Spirit was deeply involved in the Incarnation. Furthermore, the Bible makes it clear that Christ was indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Then it was at Christ's baptism that he began his earthly ministry. Here again, the Holy Spirit was present and active, both to demonstrate Christ's purity and to prove the validity of Christ's messiahship. In addition, the Scriptures demonstrate the activity of the Holy Spirit in the temptation of Christ. In this concluding part of the message, we'll see the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in Christ's works of power, as well as in his death, resurrection, and glorification. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns answers the question, does Hebrews teach that Christians can lose their salvation? This is an excerpt from Q&A with Alan Cairns, found in video format on our website, ltbsradio.com.
There are a couple of passages in Hebrews that really worry a lot of people. Hebrews chapter 10, if any man sin willfully after that he has received the knowledge of the truth. And people immediately say, well, I have sinned after I've been saved. What does this text then say about me? Well, it says there remains no more offering for sin. It goes on to say that there's only a fearful waiting for judgment, looking for judgment. Hebrews chapter 6, it says, if he shall fall away, then he can't be restored to repentance. So, people who are saved get worried. Well, I have failed the Lord since I've been saved. Some will say, I backslid openly for a period. Does this not tell me I can't be ever restored? I'm lost forever. Well, no. First of all, you've got to understand what Hebrews is talking about. This is the danger of always the danger of coming to Scripture and extracting a statement, divorcing it from its context and therefore from its purpose, applying it in a way that the Bible never intended. In Hebrews chapter 6, Paul is speaking about people who were not saved. They, in many ways, professed to be. They had received many advantages from that profession. They had even gained an access into the Christian church. But they were not saved. I know that from Hebrews 6, verse 9, because he says, we're persuaded better things of you, things that, the Authorized Version says, accompany salvation. The force of that simply is things that belong to salvation. In other words, whatever these other people had, they were enlightened by the Holy Spirit, they knew the truth, they had even participated in the mighty flow of miraculous things in the early church, but they did not have the things that belonged to salvation. In other words, they weren't saved. Now, Paul is saying, yes, there were people who associated with the early church. They knew the truth. They professed the truth. They benefited greatly from their association with the Church of Christ. But they repudiated Christ. They repudiated Christ. And that's the whole thing in Hebrews. That's the sin that he's dealing with. Put it in context, he's talking particularly to Jewish professors who give up Christ to go back to the animal sacrifices as their hope of salvation with God. In Hebrews 6 he says, those who have known all that you know and give up Christ, you were never saved, and you'll not be saved. In Hebrews 10, he's saying, if you give up the sacrifice of Christ for the blood of bulls and goats, then there's no other sacrifice. If you give up the sacrifice of Christ, there is no other sacrifice. That's what he's dealing with. He's not talking about a person who's saved and feels the Lord and is repentant of it. You'll notice these people cannot be renewed to the place of repentance. In other words, there is no repentance. They don't come back to repentance. Understand this in Scripture. Any man who confesses and repents will have forgiveness. It's impossible. It is impossible for any man to be given up by God and desire to be saved. Any man who desires to be saved on God's terms, any man who is willing to have Christ as he's offered in the gospel, any man who wants to repent and be converted, who is willing to turn from his sin and cast himself in Christ, can and will be saved. And he'd be able to thank God that those were the very gifts of God, repentance and faith. Paul is talking about people who give up Christ and never come back to repentance. You do that, there is no other sacrifice. What he's emphasizing is if you give up the cross, give up the blood of Christ, there's no other sacrifice for sin. Anywhere, in any religion, there's no hope. There's no heaven, but only a fearful looking for of judgment. That's the force of the warnings in the book of Hebrews. But never forget, concerning God's people, he says, but we are persuaded better things of you. We know that you do have the things that accompany salvation. And that's one thing a true Christian can never do. He will never give up Christ. That's the only way of salvation, to go back to the blood of goats and say, I'm going to be saved by those things. A true Christian will not, cannot do that.
Stand up and bless the Lord, your name we now adore. Stand up and bless the Lord, your name.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the Great Revival, which took place in Ulster in 1859, a moving of God's Holy Spirit which saw literally thousands of people swept into the kingdom of God. Five of our Free Presbyterian ministers will deal with various aspects of the revival. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church. In this issue, you'll read about the life and ministry of the Reverend John Wiley. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And what is the greatest need of the church today? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
The Lord Jesus never did anything on this earth simply by virtue of the fact that He was God manifested in the flesh. He did all that He did because of the measureless fullness of the Holy Ghost that He had. He depended on the Spirit of God, the fullness of power. Now, I'm not going to apply that to you and me at this point in time. We've come to the power of the Spirit in due course in our studies. But I say this to you. There is power. Now, you and I have a limitation as to our capacity. The Lord Jesus alone could receive the infinite Spirit in all His measureless fullness. But you know, whether you take a pint jug or the great Atlantic Ocean, any receptacle can only receive according to its capacity, and the little pint jug is just as much full as the vastest receptacle in the world. It may not have as much, but it's still full. You know, whoever you are, whatever you are in Jesus Christ, there is the fullness of the Spirit of God, and there is power to do His work and His will. Now, we have seen this in the words of Christ. He executed His prophetic office, and the Holy Spirit filled Him for that. Luke 4 and 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach. That's the prophetic office. In the works of Christ, He executed at least to some degree His kingly office, subduing His and our enemies. And in this, the Holy Spirit filled Him as well. I cast out devils by the Holy Spirit, Matthew 12:28. Therefore, we're not surprised that the Holy Spirit also filled Him for His priestly work. That leads me to the sixth thing. The Holy Spirit working in the death of Christ. Hebrews 9:14. He, through the eternal Spirit. Now, some commentators think that's His divine nature. I believe not. It certainly would be a unique way of describing it. The eternal Spirit surely is the Holy Spirit, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God. Now, I'm going to tread very, very briefly and very, very carefully here, for we're within the veil. And I want to tell you, when I come here, I will use few words because I dare not transgress. But I say this to you. Every part of the sufferings of Christ all tie into His atoning work. But nonetheless, the atonement did not merely consist in the external sufferings of Jesus Christ. Rather, the atonement derived its power from what we could term Christ's intention. That inward voluntariness. Now, by the eternal Spirit, He offered Himself without spot. What does that tell me? It tells me that even in the depths of the most awful darkness and agony of Calvary, when men tormented His body, and when all hell was let loose against His mind, even in the darkness of Calvary, the will of Jesus Christ was filled and fixed by the Holy Spirit of God, so that never for a moment did He ever lose that total willing zeal to offer Himself a spotless substitute to God for the salvation of our souls. Yes, the Holy Spirit is active at the cross, and He's active in the resurrection and glorification of Christ. Now, the resurrection again is attributed to all three persons of the Trinity. The Father in Acts 2:24, the Son Himself in John 10:17 and 18. But preeminently, the Holy Spirit is stated to be the executor of the Trinity in this purpose of God in the resurrection. Romans 8:11. The Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead. That's an oblique reference to the Holy Spirit raising Christ from the dead. 1 Peter 3:18 says He was quickened by the Spirit. That's an absolutely clear reference to the work of the Holy Spirit in raising Christ from the dead. And then, I want you to follow Him to the throne of glory. And in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, we have Him speaking to the churches. There are 7 little letters, and every one of them is spoken from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this carefully. Every letter commences with Christ speaking, and every letter ends with this: He that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit saith. So that even from the throne of glory, the Holy Spirit of God is still active and operative and cooperative with Jesus Christ in His glorious work for our salvation. I could sum it all up. That the Holy Spirit of God, who formed the human nature of Christ, also filled Him with infinite fullness for all His work, and has finished His task in the glorification of our risen Savior. And henceforth, here's the glorious thing about it all, the glorious application of it all, henceforth, the great ministry of the Holy Spirit, who did all this in the actual body and humanity of Christ, His great ministry is to do the very same thing in the mystical body of Jesus Christ, His church. For those 7 things that I took have all got a parallel, a spiritual parallel in us, God's people. The Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2, formed the New Testament church as the body of Christ. Romans 8:9, He indwells us. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. Thirdly, He baptized us into the body. 1 Corinthians 12:13. He leads us, and He leads the whole church of Christ. John 16:13. He leads us into all the truth. Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He empowers us. Acts 1:8. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Can I say this? I always preach the atoning, propitiatory sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We're not saved by His example. But surely we didn't study 1 Peter in vain. While we're saved by His propitiation, nonetheless we live by His example. And His sufferings are an example. As the Holy Spirit was with Him on the cross, so the Spirit imparts to us the spirit of self-sacrifice. Romans 8:13. And then finally, as He raised Christ from the dead, so He gives to Christ's people, His mystical body, resurrection power. Even now He gives that. Romans 8:11. He quickens our mortal bodies. Bless God, the day is coming when, having formed and filled that entire mystical body of Christ and completed it in all its parts, He will also transform it in glory to be with Christ, the head and the body, inseparable for all eternity. The ministry of the Holy Spirit in the person and in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God teach us much of His Spirit and give us a yearning to know that the Holy Ghost is not a principle. He's not a vague power. He's not a doctrine. The Holy Spirit is the vital third person of the eternal Trinity. And He is, as I pointed out right at the very beginning of these studies, He is always active. The Spirit of God is never passive. He is always active. Oh, that God would grant us, in seeing what God by His Spirit has done in our Savior, our covenant heir, to desire and pray with much fervor till we know and experience the spiritual application of all this in the covenant people. May God bless His word to all our hearts for His name's sake.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.